What's happening, baby? What's good tonight? I'd rather show you than tell you what's on my mind. Just clear out your schedule, cause I need some time. I know you got shit to do, but baby, tonight. Don't be selfish with your body, baby. This what I've been wanting, baby. So let's go, you got it. We back. Time me up, TZT. Episode 1, where we at, 111 right now? Yeah, 111. Let's get it.
Let's make a move. You steal the show. Be my leading lady, baby. Anything goes. That be the set.
Who's that, Tyrese? Okay, let's go. Say what you want about Tyrese. He might be crazy and everything, but he know how to sing. Can we get another TGT album or no? Let's go. Episode 111. Be back in this joint, man. Vibing.
Yeah, episode 111. We back up in this joint, man. We on this new. Okay, we sitting here on this new equipment right now. And for some reason, it still sounds a little... I can't really explain what the word is. I'm looking for it, but... I don't know if it's an echo or... I'm not used to this... What I could hear, I don't know. It's a little weird, but... Anyway, man, shout out to TGT. For that classic jam right there. Episode 111, you got it. We back up in this joint on this new equipment. Soundboard. Yeah, we lit right now, man. We definitely lit right now. Check this out. Let's go. It's up right now. So on this new equipment, I'm sitting here watching this Pelicans Thunder game right now. And it's definitely going back and forth right now. And I think for the most part, any team that came out the play-in tournament, whether it be the Lakers, Sacramento, Golden State, or New Orleans, whoever got the draw with the Pelicans were going to feel like they had a chance. Now, I don't want to disrespect the Pelicans in any type of way in regards to that, but I mean, we got to be real. A lot of teams wanted to be in that 8 spot. That's just the reality of it. But do I want to see them win? Yeah, I do. Because I think that we need to see more of SGA. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who should be the MVP of the league this year. Yeah, we need to see more of him. And the further he goes in the playoffs, the more known he'll be to the non-basketball fans. Like, people that are basketball fans, but that you know, aren't really, like, watch-every-game type fan. And I think that he's played well enough this year, and last year as well, that he should get some more recognition. And that recognition is going to only come, well, I'm not going to say only come, but for the most part, it's going to come the longer he's in the playoffs. But the way the Pelicans looking right now without Zion, mind you, that without Zion, they did get past the Kings without Zion in the play-in to get here. They look pretty formidable. They really do. And I'm not really sure if the Thunder have enough size to deal with them right now. That's kind of what it's looking like. Valanciunas, you know, he's a pretty heavy set dude. Chet Holmgren is really small. The rest of their bigs are not, they're really small. They're more like stretch bigs, stretch four and fives. They're not really like the, you know, down low banger four and fives. That's a problem for the Thunder, especially when you get the length pause that the Pelicans have. Valanciunas, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, Brandon Ingram. And this is all without Zion. So they're kind of causing a little bit of problems right now with their size. But, I mean, so far, this is going to be a good series. I will say that. Do I see the Thunder coming out on top? I'm not really sure, but this is going to be a very good series. So what else we got going on, man? We had a pretty eventful weekend. Very, very eventful weekend. Especially sports-wise. Definitely had an action-packed Saturday night. Actually, just Saturday, full day Saturday. Yeah, playoff basketball, potential fight of the year with Garcia and Haney. And, yeah, man, as a sports fan, Saturday was a good day. Very good day. Josh Giddey. Oklahoma City up 76-68. It looks like they should hold home court this game right here, this game one. We'll see how they do down the stretch. But, yeah, Garcia Haney, potentially the fight of the year. Definitely was a good fight. Definitely was. And I think it was hyped up, and for the most part, it lived up to the billing. For me, Garcia somehow managed to come away with a unanimous decision, majority decision, I'm sorry, in which the scorecards were 112-112, a draw 114-110, Garcia 115-109, Garcia. And the last two scorecards, however, to me were very confusing. Very, very confusing. I had it 115-113 Haney. To me, I think he won 7 out of the 12 rounds. Garcia did knock Haney down 3 times for the first time in Haney's career, and obviously he won those rounds. But other than that, in my opinion, Garcia maybe won 1 other round, 2 if we're being generous. And, you know, that's if we're being generous. Garcia did land more punches than Haney throughout the fight, but that in part is because the rounds he knocked Haney down, he dominated those rounds. What the heck is that thumping and bumping? What is that? Yeah, he dominated those rounds. and landed a majority of his punches in those rounds. So that was three rounds that he landed a majority of his punches. I believe he landed a little bit over 100 punches. I believe Haney landed around 89, 88, something, give or take. But in those three rounds that he knocked Haney down, he did a lot of his damage. He probably landed 80% of his punches in those three rounds. So to me, those stats are a little bit skewed. In my opinion, Haney won the fight. The one judge had it a draw, so that makes me feel okay about what I saw. The other cards must have had Haney lose 10-8 in every round that he got knocked down. That's the only way that they could have came out with those cards. And that's a big difference. I mean, 10-8 rounds compared to 10-9 rounds is a very big difference. If you have a 114, 110, that means two of those rounds that Haney got knocked down, those were 10-8 rounds. You have a 115, 109, that's 6 points. That means all three rounds that Haney got knocked down, you had a 10-8. That very rarely happens. Very rarely. I mean, you can get knocked down and still be a 10, and still be a 10-9 round. So, but that's pretty much that was pretty much the difference. Am I surprised that Haney lost? Not really. Garcia's a dog. And he's no slouch, that's for sure. And I know for a fact that Haney can't beat Tank. So Garcia and Haney, I mean, that's a good matchup. I mean, I ain't gonna say even matchup, but that's a good fight. I mean, they were tied in amateurs 3-3. So, I mean, again, that's a good fight. Would I like to see the rematch? Of course. I mean, it was a good fight, entertaining. Neither of them were running from the smoke. And I'd like to see Garcia actually make weight for the fight. It did look like Garcia could have knocked Haney down or knocked Haney out maybe two of those three rounds that he knocked him down in. But either he doesn't know how to finish or he doesn't have the stamina. I'm not really sure what it was. I mean, he did after the fight in the post-game conference or post-fight conference. I'm looking at basketball, talking boxing. That he did state that he was drinking the whole time. So maybe he just didn't have the stamina to knock Haney out. I'm not really sure. But I'd like to see him make weight, and I'd like to see them fight again. OKC up 82-73 right now. A little bit under 10 minutes left. New Orleans, they're still hanging in right now. They definitely still hanging in right now. And all along, I ain't going front. I thought Garcia was trolling. You know, during this whole press run, he was definitely, out of control. I ain't going to say out of control. I mean, apparently he knew what he was talking about. You know, the way he fought, he knew what he was talking about. But I still was a little doubtful that he was ready. But that completely went out the window first round when he stunned Haney early. Good fight, though. Nonetheless, very good fight. Let's see who's up next for Garcia or Haney. I would like to see the rematch, though. That's just me. I'm not sure, how the public feels about that. Trey Murphy. Wow shot. But I will say this. Garcia, he ain't ducking no smoke. He's not ducking no smoke. He even said he would fight Jaron Boots Ennis, which I know he don't really... I mean, that's a mistake for him. But he said he would fight him, though. But I like the heart on Garcia. Like, he ain't afraid of nothing. He's not avoiding anybody around his weight class. And he's definitely, he's willing to get in the ring with anybody. And I like that mentality about him. So let's clap it up for Garcia and Haney and that entertaining fight at the Barclays Center. This is my new applause button. I don't know if I like that better than the original. I don't know, man. We're gonna see how we're gonna roll with this soundboard. Cause I just don't know, man. I don't know, man. There's a lot going on. We got the cheers. We got the applause. We got the gunshots. We got the laughter, the giggles. But I like my original. I like to make it clap, and you know what I mean? I like the sizzle that I had. So we'll see what's going on. The other main event of Saturday was the Lakers Nuggets, which was the fourth of the four playoff games yesterday, in which the Lakers were looking to snap the Nuggets' 8-game winning streak against them. And once again, the Lakers and LeBron didn't succeed. I mean, the Lakers were up at 3 at halftime after LeBron went crazy in the first half. 19 points, capped it off with a 3 at the buzzer to put them up 60-57 going into the half. But after halftime, that's when the momentum swung. And once Denver got the lead midway through the third, they never relinquished the lead. And, I mean, for the rest of the game, they pretty much, I don't want to say dominated the game, but they held a very comfortable lead. Like, they were never really threatened. I think the Lakers might have got it down to 4. The odd thing about the second half was LeBron only taking 2 shots. And it kind of felt to me as if he keeps telling Darvinham and the Lakers something, and they're not listening to him. And I guess the rebel in him is saying, all right, look, I did what all I could do in the first half. Y'all don't want to listen to what I'm telling y'all. Here, y'all go figure it out. Do it on your own. That's what I kind of took from him in the second half. Like, he passed up numerous shots. He continued to pass the ball to other people and didn't really want any part of action on the offensive side of the ball. And that's what leads me to think that he's telling them something and they're not listening. And why you're not listening to the king is beyond me. I really just don't understand that. But he made his point yesterday. Like, because the Lakers could have won that game. Had LeBron been more aggressive, they would have won that game. But the fact that he said, you know what, y'all do it, I think he was trying to prove a point. So whatever he's telling them, they better listen, and they better start listening soon. I'll tell you that much. I did like what I seen from AD in this game, and it's not about his numbers. It was more the physicality that he played with, which leads me to believe that the Lakers will be just fine as long as they listen to LeBron. As long as he's not out there, you know, telling them, like, y'all figure it out, I'm done, and they can kind of get on the same page, then I like the Lakers. But I think game 2 is a must-win for them for a number of reasons. And one is that it'll get the monkey off their back, which will hopefully take the lid off the Denver curse for them, and they can go on to win this series. I mean, losing 9 straight, that's tough, man, because then it starts to get very mental. It starts to become a mental game. The Pelicans have came back. They're now down 82-79. Ooh, that was a big shot. 82-79, 8 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. And, I mean, this has pretty much been a back-and-forth game. But another reason why the Lakers gotta win this game, too, is that if they don't win that game, it puts immense pressure for them to win game 3. Because at that point, now you've lost 10 straight to Denver. You're going home. The pressure to win game 3, knowing that if you don't win that game, you've now lost 11 straight. And now you're going into game 4 with the potential to get swept again for the second time in 2 years. And you don't really want that pressure going back home for game 3. So to me, I think game 2 is a must win tomorrow night in Denver. I don't see any other way around it. Like, I don't see any other way around this not being a must win for the Lakers. And if they don't think it's a must win, I understand you get a whole home court, but losing 10 straight to a team and knowing you need to get that monkey off your back is not a good feeling. It's not. And you do not want that feeling going back to the Staples Center or the Crypto. So we'll see what happens, SGA. We'll see what happens for that series. But I'm hoping the Lakers win game 2, man. I really am. So we'll see. The Bucks end up holding home court without Giannis. Dame Dallas showed up. And showed out. He showed why Milwaukee brought him there with 35 first half points. Now, he didn't have any points in the second half, but he gave them a comfortable enough lead to the point where that 35 points in the first half, they was able to maintain that lead the rest of the way. The Bucks, I mean, they didn't have the best second half. Oh, Trey Murphy with the tip in. 84-81. Trey Murphy with the tip in. The Bucks didn't have the best second half. And they potentially may have gave the Patriots some confidence going in the game, too, by letting them get back in the game late in the fourth quarter. I still think the Bucks need Giannis to come back healthy in order to win this series. But Dame showed, you know, why he is Dame. And he basically had a Portland performance. And I kind of like Dame in that role. Big shot. Big shot. I kind of like Dame in that role where he's like the man and the go-to guy. That's the role that he's used to being in. And I think when Giannis is there, he's still trying to figure out, you know, whether he can dominate the game or, you know, find his spots to pick his spots where, you know, where Giannis needs to dominate and where he can't. You know what I mean? So I think it's just like a fine line of still trying to be comfortable with each other. CJ. 87-83. OKC still up. But I still anticipate a long series between the Bucks and the Pacers, at least 6-7 games. If Dame continues to play like that, then this series will be over in 5. Easy. Celtics dominated in great fashion over the Heat, and what most likely will be a first round sweep, being that the Heat are without playoff Jimmy. I don't really think there's anything that they can do. What is that? Oh, I really don't think there's anything that the Heat can do to beat the Celtics. Like, if they might steal one game, but other than that, it's a wrap. Things did get a little chippy when Caleb Martin undercut Tatum on a rebound attempt. So even though the Heat are going to lose this series, they are still going to be physical the whole time with Boston. And the Celtics most likely going to leave this series with some bumps and bruises going into the next round. Now, is it going to be enough bumps and bruises to, you know, steer them off their paths next round? I doubt it. But they're not going to leave this series without some, you know, without some black and blue marks. And a little bit of a surprise, though, the Clippers handedly beat the Mavericks in game one of their series. James Harden showed up and showed out. 28-point effort without Kawhi Leonard playing. Luka and Kyrie, they both showed up. They combined for 64 points. But to me, that's just not enough. I think like Luka and Kyrie got to combine for at least 70, if not 75 points in order to beat this Clippers team. That's with or without Kawhi. Because, they're just a deep team. OKC, 88. New Orleans, 85. Larry Nance Jr. with the tip dunk. And he's been playing some good ball. Larry Nance Jr. played very well against Sacramento in that playing game. New Orleans is not good. They're not going anywhere. Trey Murphy keeps launching deep threes. Why is he launching these deep threes like that, man? Trey Murphy is putting that thing up. But yeah, Luka and Kyrie, I mean, if they're not going to combine for at least 70, 75 points, they're gonna have a hard time beating them. I still do anticipate a long series with these teams, at least 6 or 7 games. And I think I have the Mavericks winning that series only because I'm a Kyrie fan. So that's the main reason why. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Clippers won in 7. So, but winning game one goes a long way for them. If James Harden continues to play the way he did, then the Mavericks are definitely going home. That's for sure. In other games, the Cavs beat the Magic. The Timberwolves beat the Suns, but the way they beat the Suns is a little concerning to me. Anthony Edwards, I mean, he definitely, you know, he did his thing. And he got a swagger about his game. And Anthony Edwards plays with like a joy of like a little kid. Like, he plays the game in a fun way. He's competitive, yet doesn't take the game, you know, I don't want to say too serious. I just want to he has fun playing the game. I don't really know how else to put it. He has a joy and an aura about him where he's just having fun, but he's competing hard, though. Like, he ain't no, you know, he's no slouch at all. And that doesn't bode well for the Suns. Like, if he's playing like that and having fun, that does not look good, man. That does not, that's going to be hard. But I also don't expect Devin Booker to play as bad as he did. I believe he had 9 points. I don't anticipate that happening the rest of the series. And if Booker does play well, Karl-Anthony Towns is healthy. He did play. So if Booker does play well, the Suns really should win that series. I mean, it's going to take it's going to take like a big time performance from Anthony Edwards in order for them to beat the Suns. If the Suns are hitting on all cylinders, if they're not hitting on all cylinders, all bets are off. But I don't anticipate Devin Booker playing the way he did. You can get what you got from KD and Bill. They should be fine moving forward. And in the best game of the first round, the Knicks barely held off the 76ers in a series in which each game would most likely come down to the wire. Big Body Brunson, he didn't have a good game, but the others came to play, such as Josh Hart, Bogdan Bogdanovic. They had timely threes. Bogdanovic hit a lot of his threes in the third quarter. Josh Hart did his damage in the fourth quarter. He also did not come out the game. He played the full game. Josh Hart is like Iron Man out there. He definitely is. And he's a top interview after the game, too. And for the most part, he's the reason why they won game one. I like the 76ers' strategy of making the role players, you know, win the games, rather than Brunson beating you. And of course, role players, they play better at home. So the strategy of making them beat you versus Brunson is a strategy that Nick Nurse should probably stick with for now. Now, granted, there are two games, you know, at Madison Square Garden in which those role players are going to play well. If they do that in game three on the road, that's a different story. I think Joel Embiid has to be dominant enough to get one game in Madison Square Garden. So tomorrow, he's going to have to go for like 40 in order to beat this Knicks basketball team. Mitch Robinson was giving him some problems, too. But if Joel Embiid can steal one himself, I like the 76ers' chance, because I just don't see Josh Hart and Bogdanovic and, you know, the rest of those role players, DiVincenzo, making shots at a high clip away from the garden. I just don't see it happening. But if they can hit those same shots, I mean, you just got to tip your cap to them. I mean, that's all you can do. So far, though, home teams have won every game in the first round. I believe that hasn't been done since 2013. The Pelicans are trying to spoil that run right now. We'll see if that's going to happen. We still have about, I want to say, 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left in the game. I'm actually going to finish watching this game before I continue this episode. Yeah, 4 minutes, 13 seconds left. OKC up 88-85. And we're going to see what happens, man. We're definitely going to see what happens. That was funny. That was really, really funny. That was really, really funny what I just saw. So we shall see. 88-85. Herb Jones for three. Big shot, Herb. Big shot, Herb. Pelicans on a 16-6 run the last 6 minutes and 10 seconds. Tie ball game. 3 minutes and 43 and counting. Let's see. Ooh, good hands, Larry Nance Jr. Let's see if SGA can bring this game home, though. B.I. with the layup. Pelicans now have the lead 90-88. Yeah, and the Pelicans, they were able to bring that game home. 94-92. SGA finished with 28 points. He was clutched down the stretch with the not the game-winning bucket, but the bucket that gave him the lead over C.J. McCollum. Pelicans' last possession was horrible. C.J. McCollum tried to kind of – he got the switch he wanted, tried to go one-on-one against Cason Edwards, and he got a deflection. Next thing you know, he was shooting an off-balance three. And I think that in that instance, that's where the Pelicans are missing Zion. Pick and roll with Zion and CJ probably would do wonders. Pick and roll with B.I. and Zion would do wonders. A little confused as to why Brandon Ingram did not touch the ball in the last possession. I'm not sure whose idea that was, but it was not a smart one. And Oklahoma City goes on to win game one of the series, completing a sweep for home teams in game ones of the first round of the playoffs, first time since 2013. And clap it up for OKC, though. What else do we got going on out here, man? So we got the rest of the games tomorrow. We'll kind of see what happens moving forward tomorrow. I think that we got another slate of four games. And, it's NBA playoffs. What's the phrase? It's fantastic. That's what they say, man. NBA playoffs is fantastic. Let's see what else do we got going on, man. And speaking of the playoffs, and I just talked about the Mavericks. I got to get this off my chest. I just want to mention that leaving Kyrie Irving off Team USA's roster is criminal. It's actually almost laughable. Kyrie is basically a 50-40-90 guy. He's used to international and FIBA ball. How he doesn't get a spot in the roster, to me, is disturbing on all levels. Right? I don't understand that. He's played with Team USA before. I'm baffled why he doesn't get a spot. The last spot goes to Kawhi. Now, granted, all these spots are kind of tentative right now because we don't know who's going to be hurt and who's going to be healthy, after the playoffs, who's going to want to play, who's not going to want to rest, things of that nature. So it's still a chance for Kyrie to get a spot. But for him to not get an initial spot, yeah, I'm not rolling. I'm definitely not rolling. So let's see, what else do we got going on? They did the postseason awards. Finalists, SGA, Luka, and Jokic were the finalists for MVP. Wemby, obviously, is finalist for Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year, along with Rudy Gobert. Most Improved Player, Tyrese Maxey, Naz Reid, they're up there. I think after what we've seen from Wemby and, what he did in one, I think it's the next to last game against the Nuggets, when he went for 34-12-5, beating the defending champs, 121-20. When the Nuggets had something to play for, they were playing for a number one seed. For Wemby to do that, it just kind of cemented, the fact that he should be Rookie of the Year. And to me, it really wasn't a race, but there were some pundits out here who had, or at least thought Chet Holmgren was in the race with Wemby, but clearly he shouldn't be. And clearly, to me, he wasn't. Wemby finished the season with 21.4 points, 10.6 blocks, 10.6 rebounds, 3.6 blocks. 3.6 blocks per game is a lot of blocks. Like, that's a lot of blocks. And one could really debate on whether or not he should be Defensive Player of the Year. Like, that's really up in the air for real. So we'll kind of see. I don't know. I was kind of in the middle of recording before, and I had did a top five list of playoff individual matchups for the first round. And I don't know what happened to my recording, so I guess we'll run over it one more time. We got a little bit of time here. This episode is not going to be that long, but we're going to do this top five list. We're going to get this no-no out of the week, and then we're going to get into some other stuff that's been going on over the weekend. And I got to figure out how to get my jams back on, my original music that I had. I got to figure out how to get that onto this recording. I will say that the recording with this is a little different. There's a lot of nooks and crannies that I got to kind of figure out. So if this episode is a little spotty, I will get better. You know what I mean? It's, nothing to prove, but always room to improve, is what I say. So, yeah, man, top five playoff individual matchups in this first round of this playoffs. Coming in at number five, Tyrese Halliburton and Damian Lillard. Versus Damian Lillard, that's, you know, I mean, obviously, Lillard won the first round of this matchup, putting up 35 tonight. Halliburton only had 9 points, I think 8 rebounds, 7 assists, a very uncharacteristic game for him. But on the season, Halliburton is 20 and 10, 4.7 assists, the turnover ratio. Going against Dame Dollar. Dame Dollar's 24 and 7 per game. And, you know, Milwaukee, they found out why they brought Dame here today. So I got that coming in at number five. That matchup is going to be very critical to whoever wins the series. As we saw today, Dame dominated the matchup. Hence, Milwaukee got the win. Coming in at number four, I have KD versus Jaden McDaniel. KD 27-6-5 on the season. Jaden McDaniel 10-3. And you're probably wondering why I got Jaden McDaniel on this list. It's because Anthony Edwards pretty much put Jaden McDaniel on the spot. I believe a reporter asked Anthony Edwards, you know, what they plan on doing with KD, and they, you know, the Suns got KD. His immediate response was we have Jaden McDaniel. Okay, I ain't mad at that. I'm not mad at that. He put some confidence in his guy, and that's what a leader is supposed to do. It apparently worked first game because they did kind of handily beat the Suns. Coming in at number three, I have Tyrese Maxey versus Jalen Brunson. Maxey on the year is 25.6 assists. Of course, he's up for most improved player of the year. He should win that award. Jalen Brunson, 28-6. He's not up for the MVP award, but he probably finished in the top six or seven, I would say, MVP voting. At least he should have for the way he's kind of, you know, put the Knicks on his back and was kind of taking care of them. But that matchup is going to be very critical. But Brunson did not play well yesterday, and the others kind of picked up the slack for him. Tyrese Maxey, he has to go for about 25 to 30 a game in order for the 76ers to win this series. So that matchup is going to be very critical. Coming at number two, I have Kawhi versus Luka. Of course, Kawhi didn't play. Luka ended up with 33, his right on his average. He's 33-9-9. He finished with 33 points today. Kawhi didn't play. So I still have that matchup as being pivotal in the series because I believe the series goes 7 games. Kawhi hopefully will be back for game two. If not, you know, we could kind of put Paul George in there. And it's still kind of the same scenario. But ultimately, I believe that the Clippers go as Paul George goes. James Harden did play very well today. He looked very good. But I do believe that the Clippers going to go as Paul George goes. But this matchup right here, I believe, is critical in regards to Kawhi's defense on Luka. Not his offense. So that is why I have them coming in at number two. Coming in at number one, of course, this should be pretty obvious. It's AD versus Jokic. AD on the season, 25 points, 12 rebounds, 2.3 blocks. Jokic, 26, 12, and 9. That's a top-flight matchup of two of the top, maybe three bigs in the league. Most people have Jokic coming at number one. Anthony Davis coming at number two. You know, as far as 1-2 in the league is bigs. You could definitely put Wembanyama in there pretty soon. Wemby might be top five bigs in the league right now. He's probably behind maybe Cat. Trying to think of who else. There's some other people that he's probably behind right now. But Wemby will definitely be up there. But as of right now, Jokic is definitely there. Oh, Embiid. I'm sorry. Dang, how did I forget about Embiid? Yeah, Embiid, Jokic, Embiid, AD, generally regarded as the top three bigs. So that matchup with AD and Jokic, and I like what I seen from AD. I said that earlier. I like what I seen from AD physicality-wise. It wasn't enough to get the win yesterday, but it should be enough to, you know, moving forward to for this series to go 7 games. So that is my top five list of first-round playoff individual matchups. Individual matchups. And the honorable mention would be Devin Booker versus Anthony Edwards. Of course, you know what that's going to be. Edwards definitely dominated that matchup yesterday. So we'll see what happens moving forward. But now top five. Coming at number five, Tyrese Halliburton versus Damian Lillard. Coming in at number 4, KD versus Jaden McDaniel. Coming in at number 3, Tyrese Maxey versus Jalen Brunson. Coming in at number 2, Kawhi Leonard versus Luka, albeit Kawhi being hurt. You switch him out for Paul George. Or actually, James Harden. Might be able to switch that out for James Harden as well. Coming in at number 1, top 5 playoff individual matchups is AD versus Jokic. AD got to win one of these matchups very soon. And the thing that confuses me the most about AD is how he doesn't get Jokic in foul trouble every game. You would think that he would just, you know, take Jokic out 15 to 20 feet, square him up, face up to the basket, jab step, spit, you know, jab step, and just drive at that half foot and elevate. Like, dude, in no way, shape, or form can Jokic ever block an Anthony Davis shot if Anthony Davis decides to jump. Now, if he wants to play below the rim, that's a different story. But as long as he jumps in the air, there's not a chance in the world that Jokic can block one of his shots. It just can't happen. So that kind of confuses me, but that's here nor there. But that is my top 5 list. And yeah, man, that's the top 5 list, man, for the first round NBA matchups. So let's kind of transition over to this no-no of the week. This no-no of the week goes to the man that set himself on fire in front of the courthouse where Donald Trump's trial is going on. Yeah, pretty crazy. Now, this no-no definitely comes with love because it appears as if the man is in critical condition, and I believe that he did actually pass away, so we're definitely sending his family healing energy. But Max Azzarello is his name. This no-no is for you because I just don't understand why you would do that. I think if there are ways to go out and kill yourself, I would think that drowning and ways to kind of go out. That's just my opinion right there. Now, those are probably the two most painful ways. Now, if his intentions were to kill himself, then he clearly picked a terrible way to do so because he did not really succeed. The other question I kind of have is why the courthouse where Trump is at? Why that courthouse? So that's also a little confusing to me as well. But I just kind of get confused as to why people do those things. Is he, you know, a MAGA person? Is he kind of like dying on the sword of Trump, you know, for Trump? I really don't know. But if that's the case, that's just another terrible decision. And I realize, like, right now, like, mental health issues are currently at an all-time high. So I don't really know what Mr. Azzarello is going through. But I'm definitely sending, you know, thoughts and prayers to him and you know. Yeah, man, but the decision to burn yourself, that's just not a wise decision. And when you think about it, what if the fire could have spread and affected others? He just doesn't know. And it's one thing to kind of harm yourself. It's another thing to harm others. So the whole situation is just bad all across the board. And for that reason, man, Max Azzarello, I mean, this no-no definitely goes to you. But again, this no-no is for, and actually, I kind of feel bad giving him this no-no, being the fact that I'm not 100% positive, but I do believe that he did pass away. So that is, that's like pretty sad, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, but it just wasn't a wise decision on his part. You know what I mean? It just wasn't. So, man, it's a sad no-no, man. For that reason, Max Azzarello, for lighting yourself on fire in front of Donald, the courthouse of Donald Trump is in. This no-no goes to you. Let's cue up Lil Duval and 2 Chainz. And this might be a little bit loud, but we're going to rock with it anyway. Yes, so that no-no goes to Max Azzarello. Very depressing no-no, to say the least. I hope y'all heard the music on that, because I've been having a hard time trying to figure out how to get the music to play using this. I don't know, man. This no-no is a little weird, man. It's definitely a little weird. But so if you didn't hear the music, I mean, you know the music was there. If you did hear the music, I mean, I'm glad. If it was low, I mean, you know, we'll get better. You know what I'm saying? We'll definitely get better. What else did we have going on this weekend? We had Drake come with another diss track, this time using AI with Snoop and Tupac on the verses. And Drake is a menace. Okay? He wants all the smoke. He is not to be, he is not afraid, he is not backing down from nobody. We are on day, I don't know what it is right now, without a response from Kendrick. And at this point right now, I don't think we're getting a response from Kendrick. I really don't. And I don't know if he's waiting for the hype from the single to die down or what. I'm just not really sure, but I don't really see K Dot dropping. I just don't see him coming back right now. I don't know why that is. Like, I really don't. But he is definitely not in a position to kind of sit this one out. Like, he's not in a position to do that right now. Like, he's not. So I don't know, man. Kendrick, everybody keeps saying you're on the clock, and I'm not against you. I'm not against that. I think you are on the clock. I know you're not ducking no smoke, but you've been very quiet. I mean, like, that single is definitely still going crazy right now, so I kind of understand, you know what I mean, him not wanting to respond right now. But at some point, he's going to have to say something. He has to. Because Drake is not backing down from nobody. We also had Kanye come with the Like That remix, where he takes a couple shots, you know, at Drake as well. And it's just like everybody's trying to take shots at Drake. We don't know why that is. But we really have no idea why he's taking shots at Drake. Everybody's taking shots at Drake. But if that's not, you know, somebody that is very dominant in this industry, I don't know what that is. He premiered that on the Download. That's the new Justin LaBoise show, or at least episode. At least I'm not sure if it's gonna be a show or what, but he did premiere that on there. Kanye, again, musical genius. I mean, the remix goes crazy, the lyrics go crazy. I wish I had a way to play it on here, but I'm still trying to figure this stuff out. But yeah, man, clap it up for Kanye though. We're going to get better with this thing. We definitely going to get better with this thing. What else did we have? Oh, my goodness, I forgot. We had Chris Brown coming back at Quavo. Shots fired. Breezy went crazy. It's like a 2-minute and I don't know how many seconds song, but he did not waste a bar on that. He did not waste a bar. Insinuated that he slept with Sweetie while Quavo was with her. I mean, talk about going bananas. But he did not waste a bar. I mean, it reminded me of when, what did Drake say? You got bodied by a singing N-word? Yeah, man. Quavo, don't go out like that, man. We need you to come back. I mean, of course, I'm a Breezy fan. But I also like Quavo and Amigos. But man, would he, you know, then he talked about everybody wishing it was him dead instead of Takeoff. I mean, he went bananas. Everybody talking about, like, you know, he brought hip hop back and it took a singer to do it. I don't know. I ain't gonna say, you know, he went crazier than Rick Ross did on his joint, but Breezy definitely went crazy. So Quavo, you on the clock too. Your joint is ticking right now. Definitely is ticking right now. What else do we have music wise, man? What else do we have music wise? We had DaBaby go crazy on the Leakers freestyles. Straight Heat, Yoga Flame, Yoga Fire. We did one over Sexy Red's beat. He did the other one over the Like That beat with Metro and Kendrick. And he snapped. He pretty much blacked out on both of those freestyles. Pretty much just blacked out. And we got to kind of be real, man. If DaBaby didn't have, you know, the whole spat with the LGBTQ community, he would be top five right now. I mean, I'm not saying he's currently not top five right now, but he would be, like, regarded universally as top five. But most people probably don't have him up there because of that situation. But regardless of what, he definitely top 10, hands down. He definitely top 10 in the game right now. But he would be top five if it weren't for that little spat that he had. Because you got to remember, when that happened, he was on top. He was releasing hit single after hit single. Along with, you know, top flight album after top flight album. And he just kind of just recently revealed, I didn't fact check this, that he's currently getting 150K a feature. But back when he was on top, he was getting 300K a feature, because that's what he would, like, anytime he was on a jam, it took off. Now, I do think that those numbers are going to go back up as far as his feature prices, and, you know, because right now, he's not radioactive right now. When that was going on, he was definitely on fire. Like, I mean, he couldn't be touched, man. Nobody wanted to be around him. Nobody wanted to touch him because he was just too radioactive. He had a lot going on. And even last week, he did have something going on with that, you know, with that, internet content creator, the Funny Mike dude. He did have a gunshot for DaBaby, though. But he did have some stuff going on last week, but he's still not as radioactive as he was when he had that whole beef with the LGBTQ community. But man, did he go crazy on those Leakers freestyles? I'm talking about bananas, bonkers. If you ain't checked him out, definitely go check him out. And right now, the male rap game is going crazy right now. It's definitely going crazy. And I'm kind of here for it. The women, I mean, the women had a good run, man. They had a good run. Speaking of the women, though, we got to talk about Coi Leray curving Adrienne Broner on her IG Live and why she did it in the first place. You know, she was doing an IG Live. Broner, you know, told her to pull up to the fight. Everything's on him. Now, granted, he did not ask her on a date. He just told her to come to the fight. So I don't know if that's shooting a shot. And she went crazy talking about trying to bag me on IG Live is diabolical. You know, get out of here with that nonsense. And then she kind of got out the live. But he never technically tried to get on her. He just told her about the fight. You know what I mean? And it turned out to be a marketing genius because everybody was talking about it all last week. Like everybody was talking about this all last week. And now everybody knows when Adrienne Broner fights, which is, I think, the 31st of June. So everybody, you know, at Hard Rock in Miami, even I know, and I don't even, you know what I mean? I like Adrienne Broner, but I'm just saying, like, it did end up working. If he was just trying to market the fight, it did end up working. But regardless, though, just seeing how she reacted to him just makes me think how hard it is for men to shoot their shots nowadays. Like, it's really hard. Now, I will say, like, again, he didn't technically ask her out on a date. But she took it as, you know, he was trying to bag her. And nonetheless, though, I mean, he still got kind of rejected, man. And it brings me to, you know, it kind of poses the question that I have, man. What's the worst rejection you ever received from a woman that you were trying to court? Like, what is the worst rejection you ever received? And vice versa for the men or for the women. What's the worst a man has ever curved you? And I don't really think I've been rejected all like that. But for the main part, that's because I don't really shoot shots all like that. Like, I don't really put myself out there like that. I don't really, you know what I mean? I'm not some dude that's out here dropping 100 DMs or nothing crazy like that. I don't even, I mean, matter of fact, I don't think I've ever dropped a DM for real before. But, you know, I don't really approach a lot of women when I'm out. You know what I mean? I just kind of stay in my lane, man, and let things happen naturally and organically. So I don't really have like a rejection story for real, like where I've like got rejected or I've gotten curved that's anything crazy. But I mean, I will say that I have, I guess the word would be misreading situations before. You know what I mean? I guess I have misread situations before. And yeah, I guess I would think that something was more than what it was, and it really wasn't that. So that, I guess, I don't know if you could consider that getting curved, or I guess that would be getting played, but that's kind of like after the fact that I've known the person. That's not like initially trying to get on them. Like, I don't, like, that's never really happened to me. I kind of stay in it in my league in regards to, you know, what shots I'm trying to shoot. So, but yeah, man, I kind of want to know, man, what's the worst you've ever been curved before? Like, I know it happens to a lot of people, but I'm not sitting there saying I'm batting 1,000%, but I've done a pretty good shot, pretty good, you know, pretty good job of shooting shots within my range. Now, so there's another question I have. Is it getting curved if you book a hotel room and you invite somebody and they don't show up? Is that getting curved? I don't know, but that's another conversation we'll get into another episode. But I would like to get some feedback on that. Is that considered getting curves, or is that just like getting stood up? You know what I mean? That, either or, it could be one or the other. Yeah, man. So that's kind of crazy. Yeah, we're definitely about to close this episode out, man. Let's get into this whole thing with Drewski and Ruby Rose. You know, Drewski and Ruby Rose have been on the internet. They're somewhere at some vacation. I don't know where they're at, but they're posting pictures with each other. They're holding each other. Their arm, their hands are locked. They're holding hands. Drewski posted a picture and then put in the caption, Drewby. I guess that's for Drewski and Ruby with a heart next to it. And she put in the caption, you love me, don't you? I don't know what's going on out here, but if Drewski is back, Ruby Rose, he is giving hope to all the big guys out here. Okay, he's giving hope to all the big backs. That lets us know that we can shoot any shot we want. We don't need to be worried. If Drewski has bagged Ruby Rose, that has put us in a whole different, confidence through the roof. Confidence through the roof. Not to say that the confidence wasn't already through the roof, but confidence through the roof if Drewski has bagged Ruby Rose. Like that right there, that's what I'm talking about. I like it, man. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know if he's shooting the episode, it could have been records, and that's what's going on. I don't know, but I mean, it was holding hands, so that kind of makes me feel like there's something going on. But salute to Drewski, man. Salute to Drewski. We applaud you, Drewski. We definitely applaud you, man, because that right there, that's a win for the big backs. Okay? I'm trying to unbig my back. I think I got about, what? When does summer start? Second week of June? I think I got about like, we almost in May. I think I got about like 6-7 weeks maybe. Yeah, it's the last week of April right here. So 4 weeks. Yeah, I got 5 weeks to unbig my back before June, man. And Drewski, you just made me feel like I don't have to do it and I can still get on anybody I want. But we're still gonna try to unbig our back before June starts. But thank you, Drewski. You know what I mean? Thank you, Drewski. I'm having fun with these buttons, as you can't tell. But I still got some things I gotta figure out. And that's pretty much all we got, man, for this episode, man. I'm still trying to figure out how to work the equipment. So this episode might be a little spotty, but we will get better. I know all my moves are foreign. And then we will get better, man. But other than that, man, episode 111, we getting out of here. And let me tell you this. There's a lot of other news that I got to get into that we're going to get into this week, okay? I might be on some daily show this week. Okay, we might drop daily this week because we just got there's a lot going on, a lot of things that I haven't touched base on. We got the playoffs still going on. Yeah, man. So we got to see what's going on. And shout out to the Drewski and the Could Have Been House. The latest episode is out right now. And I got to figure out what schedule he's dropping these episodes on. Because I could have sworn the first episode was on like a Monday or a Tuesday. And then last week's episode was on a Wednesday. So I don't know when these episodes are dropping. So it's hard to kind of keep up with them. But other than that, man, you got it. Episode 111. We out of here. Jit. Free Thug. And how long is this trial going on for Young Thug, man? They don't have anything on him. Let the man go, man. Y'all on a witch hunt right now, man. Free Thug, let's go. Fresh as a peppermint. Three some like sandwiches. Ooh, almost couldn't handle it. Come on. I don't establish it. Popping these energy perkins. I'm drinking that lean. Ain't no smoking. You got an episode 111. We out of here. Gia. Pull up on a kid. Pull up on a kid. Pull up on a kid. Pull up on a kid, 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 baby, pull up on a kid, 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 what? Yeah. OG. Yeah. Ooh, green. Hot. Yeah. River Dirce, deuces. Jim, yeah, let's go. Yeah. I'm back while motherfucking left. Might have said back for a major fucking comeback. New equipment. We up right now. This is Del Trail playing with my slimes. You won't make it out of exit. Mr. Crazy Ho. Mr. Crazy Ho. Anybody get in the back? In a minute more. I'm the same nigga used to pull up on the mail truck. Ha! If you ask me, it feel good. Pull up on a kid. 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 Pull up on a kid, baby. Pull up on a kid. 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 Pull up on a kid.